This is WAMU Washington, your listener-supported NPR news station from American University, in HD at 88.5 on your smart speaker and at WAMU.org. It's 8 o'clock.
From NPR News in Washington, D.C., this is Weekend Edition. I'm Aisha Roscoe. Good morning. Search and rescue efforts continue on Sunday after catastrophic flooding hit Texas Hill Country, killing more than 50. We'll have the latest. And the Dalai Lama turned 90 today. He says China should have no role in choosing his successor. Plus, a new book takes a hands-on approach to see what life was like for ancient civilizations.
Archaeology in general does a very good job of what the past looks like, but you don't get the sounds, you don't get the smells, you don't get the tastes the way you do in experimental archaeology.
It's Sunday, July 6th. News is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Search and rescue efforts continue in central Texas, where since Friday, flash flooding has left more than 50 people dead. At least 27 people are missing. Texas Governor Greg Abbott told reporters,
"This is a 24/7 operation, day and night, because we know that we are looking for Texans and Americans, and we put them as our top priority. We will find every one of them."
More than two dozen children attending a girls' summer camp are missing. Disaster survivors say the dramatic rise of the Guadalupe River came as a surprise. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says there were some advisories.
On July 3rd at 1:18 p.m., a flood watch was issued. Although it was moderate, it wasn't to the extremes that it was, that when the system came over the area that it stalled. It was much more water, much like I think we experienced during Harvey, exactly. The same type of system that was unpredictable in the way that it reacted and the way that it stopped right here and dumped unprecedented amounts of rain that caused a flooding event like this.
She says the Federal Emergency Management Agency is standing by to assist and engage in a timely response. Tropical storm Chantal made landfall in South Carolina early today, but NPR's Amy Held reports storm surge and flash flooding remain a concern.
Chantal made landfall before dawn near Litchfield Beach, about 75 miles northeast of Charleston, packing maximum sustained winds of about 50 miles per hour. Winds expected to weaken without the fuel of warm ocean waters, but as the storm moves north, the National Hurricane Center says it could drop several inches of rain, bringing flash flood risk to South Carolina today and North Carolina tomorrow. Life-threatening surf and rip currents are expected from Florida into the mid-Atlantic. For many, a disruptive end to the busy 4th of July holiday, when AAA says a record number of Americans are getting away. Area officials urging caution to beachgoers. Amy Held, NPR News.
A new survey finds one in five Americans have slept in a storage unit. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports the most common reason was because they were experiencing homelessness.
The survey by the comparison search site StorageUnits.com finds most people stayed just a few nights, but some lived in a unit for weeks or even months. Respondents considered them safe and private. But the storage company notes sleeping in such units is not legal, and now some cities have moved to ban it, citing growing public complaints and safety concerns. Despite that, some residents have argued people may have nowhere else they can afford to go. After West Fargo, North Dakota passed a ban last month, one storage facility worker told a local news site it breaks his heart to force out families with young children. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR. When the picture of Dorian Gray starring Succession's Sarah Snook closed last month after a limited Broadway run, producers announced the show's $8.7 million investment had been recouped. Reporter Jeff London says plays have been big moneymakers.
To be fair, musicals cost a lot more money and take a longer time to turn a profit. But this past season, plays helped make the Broadway box office tally at $1.9 billion, the highest in Broadway history. The picture of Dorian Gray, a one-person play with a lot of video, was the latest to make its investment back. Other profit makers were George Clooney's Good Night and Good Luck, Kieran Culkin and Bob Odenkirk and Glengarry Glen Ross, Denzel Washington and Jake Gyllenhaal in Othello, and finally, Cole Escola's farce, O'Mary. It remains to be seen whether any of the musicals which opened this past season will turn a profit. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.
The North Atlantic right whale is a vanishing species. Only roughly 370 are known to exist, and this summer the Canadian government is taking steps to protect them. Besides ocean warming and its impact on the whale's food source, a significant threat is ship strikes and entanglement in fishing gear. With a special focus on the busy waters of the Gulf of St. Lawrence, Transport Canada has now decreed that all vessels of 43 feet or more in length must comply with speed restrictions in designated areas to avoid collisions with the whales. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy and helping clients find balance. Clients are matched with one of 30,000 therapists for online therapy from anywhere at betterhelp.com/public.
I'm Peter Sagal on this week's Wait, Wait. Roy Wood Jr. on his new show, which is a lot like our old show, Jim Gaffigan on losing weight and meeting the Pope, and more. Join us for an audience with our news quiz from NPR.
Listen this morning at 11.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Aisha Roscoe. Good morning, and thank you for being here with us today. The news from Central Texas, where heavy July 4th rains caused flash flooding, continues to be grim. The number of deaths has risen to more than 50, according to state officials. Most of those so far in Kerr County, according to the county sheriff. Many more people remain missing. NPR's Sergio Martinez-Beltran has been in Kerr County for the last few days, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Hi, Aisha.
Can you tell us what's the latest on this catastrophic weather event?
Catastrophic is the operating word here, Aisha. You know, we know that this is still an evolving situation, despite it happening more than 48 hours ago. The number of dead in Kerr County includes 28 adults and 15 children. And unfortunately, that number is likely to go up because there's still a lot of people missing.
You've been talking to folks in Kerrville, Texas. How do they describe what's happened in the last 2 days?
Well, Ryan Dale is the one person I'd like for you to hear describe what he and others lived in the early hours of Friday.
It was terrifying, dude. It looked straight out of a horror movie.
Dale was in his apartment with his three children. The building is right next to the Kerrville River Trail along the Guadalupe River, which officials say rose more than 25 feet in about an hour.
And I was sitting there, and I was just stressed out all night looking at the rain coming down. And I came out of my house about 6 o'clock, and it was about 100 yards out from the apartment, and you couldn't see any of this down here. And then I came out 15 minutes later, and it was smacking the side of the apartment, getting up over the fence.
Dale grabbed his kids and started running away.
And I could just hear people screaming, and it scared me. You know, it's hard to see. It really is.
All of his family is safe and accounted for, and luckily his apartment is okay too. But not everybody had the same experience. About 6 miles west, there's a cluster of RV parks, also alongside the Guadalupe River. And as soon as you get there, you realize the magnitude of this weather event. Part of it is because of how empty it is. Most of the RVs and cabins were swept away. And the few that are still there are destroyed.
Hi, my name is Sergio. I'm a reporter.
I meet Melvin Harris here. He's covered in mud. He says he was in his RV with his wife when they were woken up by neighbors knocking on their door, telling them,
get out, it's flooding. And I thought, well, hell, I've seen it flood before. I never even thought of getting that damn high. But, yeah, of course, it washed the motorhome away. washed both of our cars away, and we got out with our dogs and the clothes on our back, and that's it.
Harry says that by the time they got out of their motorhome, the water was already waist deep.
We had friends that were camped up the road here, and they didn't make it. So this has been very devastating. I don't know that this place will ever recover from what happened. We'll just have to see. But I'm not ever going to live this close.